under our business sponsors. Just go to WTRJTheTruth.com.
Christian teaching and talk. This is 91.7 FM, The Truth.
Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you jump on board. Join in the dialogue and discussion as once again we face the issues each and every day. And ladies and gentlemen, lest I get involved with my dialogue and discussion and fail to remind you, you can call in 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. I'll have a brief monologue. After the monologue, we'll open our telephone lines. Invite you to call in. Join in the dialogue and discussion today. We're talking about an issue that I believe, if you've not already heard it, you should have. But we'll talk about an issue today that is vital, I believe, for the sustaining of our constitutional republic. So my question is, can America survive the constitutional challenge? That constitutional challenge has been on the line now since President Trump was elected his second term. And the courts have gone wild. And now finally, as of a couple of days ago, a suit has been filed against the Supreme Court Chief Judge John Roberts. I believe we're about to witness a major cataclysmic battle, and that battle is over the Constitutional Republic. Can our Constitution stand it? Can our nation will our nation be able to endure it? Will we survive as a nation? Ladies and gentlemen, most of Americans have been asking the very serious question, where's Chief Justice John Roberts? Why are we witnessing very evident collapse of the real constitutional order? Why are hundreds and hundreds of loose cannon judges now ruling, controlling the executive branch of our government? Why is it that we see local court judges, as one writer put it, a small judge in a small office in a small circuit in a small town in a small state that's ruling, controlling the executive branch of our government, the president's office, the chief executive? Why is that so? How is it happening? Why is it that President Trump is under full control of the courts in America? We're seeing a tectonic shift in the third branch of our government. We have the legislative branch, we have the judicial branch, and the executive branch. We're witnessing a tectonic change, a switch, where rather than the executive branch is in control and the oversight of our constitutional republic, we're witnessing today where it seems though it's the courts. That's what we're going to talk about today. By the way, while I'm thinking on it, and I normally do not do this, on tomorrow's broadcast we're going to be talking about, will AI rule the world? What is AI? Who controls it? Will it be controlled by the Antichrist in the future? What is AI? Who is it? And who controls it? What will the future hold? That's tomorrow's broadcast, so don't forget it. Tell others. I believe it will be an intriguing, challenging, encouraging, informative broadcast. There's some things bubbling to the head, to the top of the surface, bubbling to the surface about AI and what's taking place that absolutely staggers the imagination. We'll talk about that tomorrow. But ladies and gentlemen, as we face the issues, let me remind you, we do so based on the authority of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. I call it the truth book. John 8:31-32, the Lord Jesus speaking to his disciples said, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. Then in John 14:6, Jesus says, I am truth. Further in John 17:17, a declaratory statement is made about the Word of God. The Bible says in John 17:17, thy word is truth. Then in Psalms 117:2, the Bible says very clearly, the truth of the Lord endures forever. That's a pretty good length of time. Endures forever. So, ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you, as we face the issues, we need to do so through the prism of the Word of God. As we see things taking place locally, statewide, nationally, internationally, and globally, may I remind us we need to view it through the prism of the Word of God. Because God is sovereign, God is in control, there's nothing that takes place out of the control of the hand of God. There's nothing that takes place that surprises God. Nothing that happens that God says, gee whiz, I sure wish I'd known that was going to happen. We need to face the issues, and as we do so, recognize that God's still on the throne, that God's not abandoned us, that God is not asleep. He's not on vacation. But ladies and gentlemen, as we face the issues, understand we need to stand on truth. It was George Orwell, the secularist of yesteryear, that said the further society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who believe it, who speak it, who stand on it. Ladies and gentlemen, truth matters regardless of what part of the nation you're in. Truth matters whether you're in the blue state, blue city, or you're in a red state, red city. Truth matters whether you're a Democrat, socialist, Marxist, communist, or a Republican. I don't care about the stripe. I don't care about the brand that you want to call it. Truth matters. You can take a half-truth, and it is a whole lie. And may I say to you, one of the major problems we have today, if I can tuck this in, is kind of a young blood parenthetical statement as a footnote to what I've said. I believe that we need to recognize that the church is responsible for the direction that we're going in even today as a nation. It was the former U.S. Senator Jim DeMint that said America's decline is linked to the death of truth. And this is in part what DeMint said. Truth is the core principle of the Judeo-Christian values, which are the foundation of Western civilization. Judeo-Christian values are derived from the Bible, and the Christian church is the only custodian of the Bible. If you want to know the reason for the death of truth in America, look no further than the decline of Bible-based Christianity. Ladies and gentlemen, that's a harsh statement, but it's a true statement. But yet we have, according to the latest survey, 55% of the millennials, that's the 18 to 35-year-old age group, that say, and I'm looking at the headline, most younger Americans say there's no absolute truth. And then in the article it reads, 55% of the millennials say that each person determines their own version of truth. There's not but one version of truth. But ladies and gentlemen, there's a mindset that you can pick and choose parts and portions. Listen. The same is true in the biblical Christian world. There are people that will take the Word of God, the Bible, and they will look at a verse, pluck out a phrase or a word, and build a whole theological doctrinal stand on it without looking at the context. When we look at what is taking place today, and we look at the broad picture of our constitutional republic, we look at the broad picture of what our Constitution says, we need to look at the four corners of the document, as the old cliche goes. And as we see that, we'll see that what is being pushed, promulgated, and ordered through the courts in America today against President Donald J. Trump simply are not constitutional. I go back to the 15th century theologian and church reformer that made this statement. Faithful Christians seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death. May I challenge you with that today? That as Christians, we seek the truth. You won't find it on the Communist Network News. You won't find the truth in any of the network news across America. You'll find the truth in the Word of God. Thy word is truth. Remember, John 17:17. But Jan Hus said, seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love it, live it, tell it, defend it, even to death. And may I say to you, we are living in an era that more and more we're being called upon to stand for truth, even if we have to stand alone. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of the day's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of equipment for the homeowner with brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment. And ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has a full line of Honda generators, and they have a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about power backup equipment. The knowledgeable staff at Tools for Time can answer your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291. That's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. Perhaps you say, how do I find that? Where is that? It's right at the intersection of I-295 Beltway and Old St. Augustine Road. There's a benchmark and identifier. On the campus of Tools for Time, there's a 165-foot flagpole. Ladies and gentlemen, atop that flagpole flows Old Glory, the U.S. flag 24/7. Find that flag in the flagpole. The base of the flagpole, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. One more moment. We'll open our telephone lines. Ladies and gentlemen, there is a little fragment of good news. Looking at headlines, says Supreme Court allows Trump to enforce the transmilitary ban. You remember just a few weeks ago, by executive order, President Trump banned the transgender men or women in military, said that they were under doctor's care, they would not be military ready, war ready, if you will. This article reads, the decision overruled a lower court judge who imposed a stay, and the Department of Defense will be able to enforce it now with legal while the legal challenges proceed. The Supreme Court on Tuesday allowed the President Trump to enforce a ban on transgender service members in the military. The decision overruled a lower court judge. Further, it says Trump previously imposed limited restrictions on transgender military service in his first term. The current ban goes further. In January, Trump signed an executive order stating that expressing a false gender identity divergent from an individual's sex cannot satisfy the rigorous standards necessary for military service. The ban faced blocks from multiple judges. That's what we're talking about today. The multiple judges, this article says, including Washington, D.C.-based U.S. District Judge Asa Reyes, that's R-E-Y-E-S, who deemed it unconstitutional. Ladies and gentlemen, we're having these judges, these circuit court judges, federal judges, that are making decisions based on their bias politically and with no constitutional authority to do so. But yet everything they're doing, they're claiming it, what Trump is doing, is unconstitutional. This is the reason it is so vital for us to recognize what is happening and try to face it and see what God is going to do with what has just taken place. Headline, bombshell. John Roberts slapped with a lawsuit accused of unconstitutional shadow agency. Let me pause for a moment. This lawsuit is against the Chief Justice, John Roberts. Now, my question in pun, who's going to hear the case? Who's going to rule, what judge is going to rule against John Roberts? Ponder that for a moment. The article reads, it's dated May 6th. A new lawsuit alleges that Chief Justice of the U.S. Supreme Court is running what is being called an unconstitutional shadow agency, going beyond the responsibilities of the judicial branch by taking regulatory action. The fight was launched by America First Legal Foundation, which was started by Stephen Miller, which is President Trump's Deputy Chief of Staff of Policy. Chief Justice Ron Roberts was cited in his capacity as the head of the U.S. Judicial Conference. Also named was Robert Conrad, the Director of Administrative Office of the U.S. Courts. A report for Fox News explains the complaint accuses both the U.S. Judicial Conference and the Administrative Office of the U.S. Courts of performing certain regulatory actions that go beyond the scope of resolving a case or a controversy or administratively supporting those actions, which they argue are the core functions of judiciary. It also charges that records of those organizations should be subject to the Freedom of Information Act requirement. The article goes further, and I'll take our caller in just a moment. The newest fight comes amid a campaign by district judges, those who run to entry level of federal court systems, to issue a long list, hear me, a long list of nationwide injunctions through which they claim the authority, they claim to have the authority to make decisions for the executive branch, which by the Constitution are the responsibility of only the president, end quote. So ladies and gentlemen, the underlying issue today, can America survive this constitutional challenge? I believe I have Kenneth on the line. Kenneth, go over the question or comment, please.
Yes, sir, Dr. Youngblood. It is sad the way this republic is turning. It is very sad. You got judges, I think one or two, had illegal aliens, gang members, go out the back door when ICE came in to arrest him. He and his lawyer, he needed to be off the bench, flat out, scraped up. And what our president is doing now is so great. It is ridiculous that they don't want a republic. They don't want a republic. They don't want a law system.
Kenneth, you're exactly right. What we see taking place, and by the way, it was a female judge that was in the on the bench when ICE was there to arrest one that was being standing before her. And rather than allowing that to take place, she slipped the defendant and his attorney out the side door, which is entered by only the judges, and through the judges' chambers. And ICE had to chase him down the street to catch him. The other one was another case where the judge and his wife were harboring illegal invaders in their home, on their property, doing work for them, knowing that they were illegal invaders. That judge has been removed from the bench, as it should be. But we're finding across America today, Kenneth, one of the things that's so egregious is the fact that we have these, you heard me say it a dozen times recently, where a small judge in a small room and a small office and a small court and a small town and a small state with a small circuit that he's responsible for will sign a dotted line and issuing an order of an injunction or an order against President Trump, which basically saying that any judge, and I understand we've got about 600 of them in the different circuits across America, about 600 of these judges, and any one of these judges feel that now they've been emboldened to be able to sign a judge's order that will bring to a screeching halt the executive office where Donald J. Trump has the responsibility constitutionally to run America, to protect America, and to make the final say-so on what is safe for America, not a local judge in a local court that's now trying to take usurp authority over the executive branch. So, Kenneth, what are your thoughts when now there's a suit against Chief Justice John Roberts? Maybe I'm just missing something. Who's going to hear it? I've not read the actual suit. I understand it's several dozens of pages long. I've not read the suit. Read the summary of it, and in that summary of it, it is a claim that the Chief Justice and his courts are running what they're calling a unconstitutional shadow agency. Now, that's a pretty powerful charge. Here's the U.S. Supreme Court Chief Justice that's being charged with running a shadow agency. Now, I would interpret that to be shadow government, but they're calling it shadow agency. So what, in your opinion, will this end up being heard? Will this wind up being quashed? Is it possible that the Chief Justice will be removed from his office? By the way, most citizens are not aware of the fact that a Supreme Court justice, even though they are appointed for life, they can be removed for cause. So if this is the case, Chief Justice John Roberts is charged with a cause, is it possible the legislature would remove him from office? Where do you think this is going, very briefly, Kenneth?
Okay. No, it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. It's like when they stopped President Trump from the illegal aliens he was shipping out, talking about that it has to go through due process. That's for Americans. It's not for illegals. And they're trying to turn it around.
Brother, you're exactly right. That's the reason it goes back to the what's called the Constitution and the original intent. I'm an originalist. That means that I stand for what the framers of our Constitution meant when they wrote the Constitution. Words mean something. Words have meaning. Words have definitions. And what the framers of our Constitution meant is what we need to view when we look at, when the Supreme Court or any court looks at anything, should be through the prism of what did our framers mean? What does this word mean in its context? And when it talks about due process in the 5th and the 14th Amendments, it's not talking about for anybody that enters illegally. The due process is only afforded to those that's found in the four corners of the document called the Constitution, and that's nothing but, nothing less, nothing more than the citizens of the United States of America, not illegal invaders.
Yes.
So, Kenneth, you're exactly right, brother. It deserves what we see happening now. The cannon has been fired across the bow. We're about to witness a major frontal attack, and that attack's got to be determined by whether or not the Chief Justice has been properly operating his courts, or whether or not he has defaulted on his responsibility and duty to rein in these loose cannon judges. So it deserves our prayer, and it deserves our prayer. Absolutely. Kenneth, thank you so much for your call. God bless you as we keep looking up, realizing our redemption draweth nigh. I believe Jim is on the line. Jim, go ahead with the question or comment, please.
Good morning, Dr. Youngblood. How are you?
I'm doing great. I pray that you are.
Doing well, thank you. Solomon wrote in Ecclesiastes there, one of the things he wrote is nothing new under the sun. I'm going to give you a little bit of history from 1793, and you and your audience can draw the parallels to exactly what's occurring today. The Jacobins are in power in France. They're beheading 900 to 1,000 people a month for anybody that disagrees with them. They send Genet as a representative here to the United States. It's George Washington's second term. His chief of justice is John Jay, who sits on the is the chief justice. Genet comes over here with a man of war. He grabs a British merchant ship and converts it into a raider that he had taken on the high seas and renames it La Petite Democratique. He starts inciting riots in Philadelphia. Philadelphia's got a population of approximately 30 to 40,000 there. Upwards of 5,000 people are being agitated by Genet, sent by the Jacobins, and France and England are at war. This is a violation of the Neutrality Act that Washington had imposed. Washington goes to his Chief Justice John Jay, because he wants to remove Genet. John Jay says, this is an executive branch decision. I cannot rule on this. If you want him gone, send him. So that was over 200 years ago, and you can see the parallels to exactly what's occurring today. Outside foreign nationals instigating United States citizens. We could talk about the campus protests where these Palestinians have come over here and they're being deported. You can look at foreign nationals like China who are trying to instigate problems here in the United States through industrial espionage, through spying and other manipulations of the citizenry. You can look at the executive power of the executive office and the president there and removal of these foreign nationals. You can look at the Supreme Court itself saying that this is an executive power. We have no right to interfere in this, and you can look at the similarities that are occurring today as opposed to 200 years ago.
Jim, you're exactly right. That was a very, very well crafted statement and remark to draw the comparison and the contrast with what we see taking place today. By the way, John Jay was the youngest of the chief justices in history. Yeah. When I think he was 23 years old when he went on the bench, if I'm not mistaken, and had a homeschool education for the most part. Major, I think he graduated with his doctorate at something like 16 years of age. But nevertheless, that was back in the days when we had good educational system, if you will. But one of the things that we're seeing with this suit and with John Roberts not taking the right role in the position. You're exactly right. John Roberts should have, when these cases started popping up, John Roberts, number one, in my opinion, you share with me your thoughts for our listeners' edification. When these local judges started popping up and making their rules, Chief Justice should have picked up the telephone and said, hey, guys, you're out of order. That won't work. Withdraw your complaint and stop the filings because you're out of order. Secondly, just as you said, in history past, there should be the recognition by the U.S. Supreme Court that says, hey, this is the decision for the executive branch, not for the judicial branch. We're not going to touch it. You do it. And just as a little footnote to that statement for me, the Supreme Court ruled when Biden was in office that he could not grant a forgiveness for the student loans. Joe Biden continued to do so, even with two rulings in that realm, continued to do so. Just back history past, President Andrew Jackson, when a ruling was made by the Supreme Court, he said, that's your opinion, and I enforce it. So my opinion, and some might disagree with this, my opinion, if it is where the Supreme Court's overstepping their bounds as far as their branch of government allows them to do, and they step into the executive branch's decision-making and rulings as he should do in protecting America, I personally think President Trump needs to be very frank, very honest, very calm in a media meeting and simply say, that's the Supreme Court's opinion. Let them try to enforce it. So my question is, if Supreme Court tries to enforce it, how will they enforce any of these rulings that they've tried to impose on the executive branch?
Well, the only options they have is rulings of contempt, and they can try to exhort the Department of Justice to follow through with their complaint. I think that's one of the reasons behind Senator Thom right now rejecting the district attorney, not district attorney, I can't remember the guy's name there, but he's rejecting him that Trump wants to be put into the District of Columbia. I think he's the attorney general, if I remember correct. I do believe that the RINOs, along with the judiciary, are trying to legislate via the bench. I firmly believe that the United States Supreme Court is in contempt of themselves for not reining in the lower courts. They have a duty, a sworn constitutional duty, to uphold, and these rogue judges that are legislating via the bench are out of order, in my opinion. So I would agree with that completely.
Jim, let me ask you a question because it's out of my circuit of influence and or knowledge on this particular portion of this article about the suit being filed. According to the report from Fox News, explains, quote, the complaint accuses both the U.S. Judicial Conference and the Administrative Office of the U.S. Courts of performing certain regulatory actions that go beyond the scope of resolving cases or controversies or administratively supporting those actions, which they argue are the core functions of the judiciary. It also charges the records of those organizations should be available for an inquiry. But the bottom line is it talks about the fact that there is the states here under the constitutional tradition, accommodations with Congress are the province of the executive branch, the judicial conference, and the administrative office for, therefore, executive agencies. I didn't know that we had such a thing. It says the U.S. Judicial Conference is the national policymaking body for the courts. It is overseen by the Supreme Court's Chief Justice and tasked with making twice yearly recommendations to Congress as needed. Now, have you heard of the U.S. Judicial Conference that is over the Supreme Court or over the courts?
Actually, no. If this is something, I mean, the Supreme Court is supposed to be the top of the tier, the top of the pyramid.
But as I understand the document, as I understand the documents that I've read on that, there's this conference that's supposed to be the policy making and the oversight agency for our court system. Jim, we're on a hard break for our top of the hour news. If you have time, I'd love to have you hold over for a moment. Let's finish this part of the discussion. Ladies and gentlemen, hang in there. Don't turn your dials. We'll be right back right after the news.
The Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.
WTRJ Orange Park. WA